Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Whenever you talk about serving with excellence, you cannot forget a man like Daniel, who the Bible said in Daniel 5, the verse number 12, that the man had an excellent spirit, full of knowledge, and the Bible said he had the ability to dissolve doubts. But you and I know that that excellent spirit landed him in a lion's den. And his friends, who also had the excellent spirit like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they also ended up in a burning fiery furnace. Many people that operate in excellence are naive. Many excellent people are good people. And because they are good people, they think everybody is like them. But I noticed something about excellence. It cannot be taught in a classroom. The thing is a spirit. You either have it or you don't have it. And if you don't have it, your greatest trainer to excellence is humility. The humility to say, I don't know, teach me. I don't know, help me. It's a spirit. Excellence is a very powerful thing, and it moves in everything we do. Excellence is not only in mechanics, engineering, banking, but no, even in spiritual dynamics, there should be excellence. When it comes to the operations of the pneumaticals and the things of the spirit, we should have excellence in everything we do. In everything we do. Now, here is a time in the life of Adam's children, Genesis 4, where Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering the Lord had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at thy door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? It is almost impossible in any team for somebody to be very good and people will not take an aim at him to bring him down. So I wrote here, overcoming the spirit of envy, securing the destiny of families, homes, nations, and businesses. In the sense that if you are achieving things, you are getting results, you are operating in excellence, as much as you are looking at what you are doing, you should be also be looking over your shoulders to see if there is somebody who is trying to shoot you down for what you are doing. To be good and not be an observer makes you very vulnerable. You are good. You are performing by excellence. God is blessing you. But you are not watchful. You think everybody is happy with you. Your biggest danger is when you forget that there is somebody whom your success and your excellence is exposing as a lazy man. Because people have used the conditions under which you are operating as an excuse to fail. And when you start succeeding and you are performing excellently in the same environment, you are calling them liars. So somebody asks them, why are you poor? They say, I live in Nalergu. Nalergu is a poor place. And you are in the same Nalergu and you are prospering. What you are saying is that the person is a liar. Oh, God cannot bless you in this church. God cannot bless you in this church. God can. And then you are in that same church and you are breaking through. You are proving them to be liars. They won't like you. To talk about excellence and not talk about envy is almost like don't handle the topic. Because excellence will invariably generate envy in somebody. And that is why most of our excellent performers, they don't live long. If it's in soccer, we break their legs, they can't play again. So you know what, ladies and gentlemen, the people who should perform excellently, the people who should give us excellence, they don't live long. In our families, in our businesses, in our churches, somebody starts with an excellent spirit in the church, we throw him out. Look at the man like Isaac. The Bible said Isaac was in the land of the Philistines, and the man grew great. The Bible said he was great. He went forward. He grew until he was very great. And the Bible said, and the Philistines envied him. And they told him, go from us because you are mightier than us. Now, somebody who is mightier than you, should you be keeping him or driving him out? Most of the time we drive them out. They will kill the breadwinner and leave the drunkards in the family walking about. May the Lord give you the wisdom that in all the excellence you are achieving in life, you will also be watchful. Now, the Bible said, Adam and Eve, they got two sons. The first one was called Cain. Cain means a spear, an arrow, a smith. Abel means vapor or breath. One of them is an aggressive personality. The one is volatile like breath or vapor. The Bible said in the process of time, they brought an offering unto God. And if you look at the nature of the offerings, you will realize that the Bible said, Abel brought of the firstlings of his animals. But Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. I can imagine Abel walking through the flock and he's saying, this is the firstborn. This is the firstborn duck. Firstborn cow. Firstborn goat, firstborn sheep, firstborn that. It's a diligent process, diligent activity. The man's taking his time, excellence. It is painstaking, time taking, effort taking. It's costing him something. Because everybody would like to keep the first link. But the man takes the first link thereof and the fat thereof. He took his time, excellent offering. Cain went and dug from the ground. Anything he could get, he just uprooted it, I believe, recklessly and carelessly, threw it in front of God. The Bible said, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. You know what, people? The respect God gives you is based on the respect he gives to your offering. God treats you and your offering the same way. If your offering is respectable, you obtain respect from God. If your offering is not respectable, you don't obtain respect from God. The way you treat God's offering is the way he treats you. So here is Abel. He brings an offering, honorable offering, great offering, presents it to God. I know normally sometimes I hear preachers say, well, just bring anything to God. God will accept it. God will not reject any offering. Bring anything you can afford. No, God is not an affordable God. He is a fastidious God. He's very, very selective. Very selective. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6. God is selective. He doesn't accept anything. No. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I can be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts, O priest that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Verse number 7, you offer polluted bread on my altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee, in that you say the table of the Lord is contemptible. Verse number 8, if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with you or accept your person? Saith the Lord of hosts. Blind animals and crippled animals. You don't take a goat that is limping and carry it as offering. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If that is all you have, I believe God will accept it. But if you could have done something. That is why sometimes it's dangerous for you to use your young days to serve the devil. And one day when you are now on your deathbed, and even the devil won't accept you. The Bible said, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Don't wait until that body, even the devil cannot use it. And say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. Are you sure? Is this life you are giving? When the life could speak, and the life could walk, and the life could perform, and the life could do good or evil, you use it for the devil. Now that the day is over, night is drawing nigh. Shadows of the evening still across the sky. They're saying, Jesus, I give you my life. Remember now thy creator. Not when you are about to die, but in the days of your youth. In the days of your youth. Don't wait until your body is incapacitated. You can't do anything with your life. Nobody wants you, including even the devil. Then say, Lord, I surrender my life. This is not surrender. You have no choice. Respectable. Am I talking to somebody? The Lord has respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering, the Lord had not respect. The Bible said, and after God had respect unto Abel and his offering. We don't know how long it took, but I believe that it took an appreciable amount of time. An appreciable amount of time for Cain to be able to see enough evidence that God had accepted Abel and rejected him. The Bible said when he realized that God had respected his brother's offering and rejected his, the Bible said he was angry and his countenance fell. I like the way he said it. Why art thou wroth, and why is your countenance fallen? I want you to turn to somebody and tell the person this. The reality is this. Your excellence is making somebody angry. That is the reality. And if you are under the sound of my voice and somebody's excellence is making you angry, may you surrender that spirit. Because it's an evil spirit. May God give you what it takes to rejoice because somebody is performing, because somebody is getting results, because somebody is breaking through. Come on, clap your hands and scream it like your voice is yours and pray. It will amaze you that in football, somebody can be sitting on the substitution bench praying that the main striker, his leg should break. It's not a matter of whether we are winning or losing. I want to play, even if I won't score. That spirit is in our businesses, is in our nations. We are not thinking about the success. We are not thinking about the nation. We are not thinking about the excellence. We are thinking about me. If it is not me, then this whole thing should come down. The Bible said, Abel, God accepted him. Cain was rejected. The man got angry. I normally think that when people perform well, they lose their guard and celebrate too long. Look at even football. Sometimes people can score a goal. They take the ball to the center circle. And they are still in the euphoria of the fact that they just scored a goal. The other people pass it quickly. And by the time you realize, they have equalized. You are rejoicing too early and too long. May the Lord help you to be watchful.
Amen.
Whenever you see success.
Amen.
Whenever you see breakthrough. Whenever you are doing well. That is the time for your guard to be on.
Amen.
That is the time for you to be most alert. Because there are many people that are waiting for you to fail. So here is Cain, very angry because God has accepted his brother and rejected him. You know what, people? If you do the right thing, God will accept you. God came to Cain. He said, Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance falling? If you do the right thing, will you not be accepted? Listen, when you see God promoting and you see God blessing and you see God favoring, there is something behind the scenes you don't know. They are doing something you are not doing. That is why God is blessing them. So you know what? Stop getting angry. Stop getting envious. Stop getting bitter. And you begin to do the things that will let God accept your person. Can I hear somebody shout an amen? So here is Abel. judiciously, meticulously, diligently. God had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering, he had no respect. And the Bible said, and Cain got very angry. Angry. Meanwhile, Brother Abel was walking about naive and did not know that his brother was angry. How can you be so successful and think there is nobody who is mad about your success? How did you just get a doctorate degree and you think everybody's happy? How did you just get a promotion and you think everybody's happy? How are you doing an outdooring and you think everybody's happy? Your wedding day, you think everybody's excited. You know what? Make a little provision from some enemies around. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And the Bible said, and Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. He talked with him. That means they were not quarreling. Don't let the semblance of peace deceive you. Some of the people that want to kill you sometimes are the most friendly. Oh, bros, how is it? Bros, oh, sis, I'm very happy for you. Sis, I'm very happy for you. Every house you go to, you eat. Be very careful. He talked with him. They were not quarreling. The murder took place in talking and conversation. I can imagine. I want to imagine the atmosphere. That on that day, two brothers were walking together. And you're saying, bros, you know, these days our father Adam, I think Adam is beginning to have papa pause. And mommy is going through menopause. Menopause and papa pause. Adam is going through papa pause. Mommy is going through menopause. Do you notice they are becoming a little funny? Then Abel is also walking about and doesn't suspect anything. All of a sudden, Cain shouts, bros! He turns around. He's killed him. And that's because here is a successful man who is not watchful. Listen, even God, when he created the world and said everything is good, one Lucifer was not happy. He created a garden, put Adam and Eve in the garden, planted everything. Everything was nice. Lucifer came and deceived Adam and Eve. The day you eat of this fruit, you will be like God. Human being became envious about his own God. He wanted to be like God. And you know what God did? When Lucifer said, I'll be like the Most High, God cast him out of heaven. Adam and Eve ate the fruit with the intent to be like God. God threw them out of the Garden of Eden. Now, Abel, you have seen envy. God has taught you how to deal with envy. How to deal with envy is, when you see it, cast it out. If you cannot cast it out, walk away from it. Don't hang around envy. Abel handled it differently from the way God handled it. He died. Anybody who misbehaves with envy, envy will kill you. Listen, God is omnipotent. He could have kept Satan in heaven. God is love. He hasn't got love. Oh. He is love. He still didn't keep Satan in heaven. He is omnipotent. He didn't keep him in heaven. You are walking about saying you are anointed, so this envy cannot hurt you. And you also say you are walking in agape. You are walking in the love of God. Even God, who is not walking in love, but his love, he drove Satan out of heaven. Somebody said, oh, but brothers, God said, feed your enemies. If they are thirsty, give them drink. It's true. He said, feed them. But he didn't say, feed them with your hand. If you want to feed your enemy, stand far away, take a long spoon, aim at his mouth, and drop the food into his mouth, and keep your distance. Keep your distance. Abel's problem was, this is a successful man who doesn't know that his success has made somebody angry. And you are walking about saying, oh, this person cannot harm me because he's my spiritual brother. Well, this is blood brother killing. But some of you, you know your biggest problem in life. You think everybody's like you. You cannot kill, so you think nobody can kill. You cannot lie for people, so you think nobody can lie for you. You cannot blackmail anybody, so you think nobody can blackmail you. One day Jesus made an emphatic statement, beware of men. I thought he would say beware of the devil. beware of principalities and powers. He said, beware of men. Let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. More problems have come to you from human beings than the devil. Most of the problem you are saying, devil, devil, devil. Devil was nowhere. It was flesh operating through men. I'm telling you, if you don't become a master at handling human beings, you'll be in trouble. Wedding feast of Cana. Jesus did a miracle, manifested forth his glory. And the Bible said the people began to rejoice. The Bible said, but Jesus did not give himself to them because he knew what was in man. In man is a beast which will not celebrate your success and your excellence. A man is a beast that will seek to destroy every good thing you build. You know, that is why the results of our success doesn't last. The results of our excellence does not last. Nothing lasts. Am I talking to somebody? So put a password on your success. It's not everything you succeed in doing that everybody must see. Stop broadcasting everything you do in excellence. The day they made Joseph the coat of many colors, the man entered a pit. Jacob could have protected Joseph better by not making him the coat of many colors. They made him coat of many colors. His own brothers took him, dumped him into a pit. He killed his brother because this brother did not know the danger of envy. Envy can kill. And that is why when you see the slightest envy coming out of you towards somebody, start praying. In Cain's family, there was only one person who knew how to offer an acceptable or excellent offering to God. When they killed him, there was no mention of offering again in that family. The reason why God demanded the offering was not because of Adam and Eve, because Adam and Eve were fruit eaters and not sacrifice givers. Now Cain has killed the only person in the family who knows how to get to God with an offering. Some of the people we kill in our families and nations and businesses and ministries, we can never recover them. May God help us to protect the gifts and the anointings and the graces that he has given to us. Listen, all your life, may God deliver you from the temptation of your hand or your mouth ever shedding the blood of a star that God has raised in a nation or a family. Come on, give a big clap of praise. We are talking about excellence. But won't excellence make us envious, angry? Because excellence doesn't come to many people. They killed Abel, the one that knows how to take a sacrifice and give it to God. They killed him. We are killing them every day. The person rises up in the choir, can sing, bam, we kill. A pastor rises up in the church, can lead prayer meeting. Within a short time, we say the man is a fornicator. We lie for him, drive them out of the church. 1 Samuel 18. And my Bible says, David had killed Goliath. Saul had a demon. And anytime the demon started tormenting him, there was only one person in Israel who could conquer that demon. And that was David. One day David was holding the instrument with which he was playing for Saul to receive calmness and his demon to be calmed down. Only one person could kill his demon. He took a javelin, attempted to kill his own doctor. And the Bible said King David, who was an expert at dodging javelin, dodged it not once and not twice and escaped from his presence. Now, I'm saying, Cain killed his own brother. Now, Saul is attempting to kill his own doctor. Sometimes the mistake you make is that, oh, this man is my brother or my sister, she cannot kill me. And the mistake others make is that, he needs me so much, he cannot kill me. Oh, what will this my boss do with me? I'm his main driver. What can he do with me? Without me? I am his boss. I pay his salary. Without me, he has no income. They will kill you. oh, this pastor cannot hurt me. I'm the main person who prays for him. Don't deceive yourself. There are some people, they prefer death to you in particular, helping them. 1 Samuel 18, verse 9. And Saul, I David, from that day forward, the man who has killed Goliath to free the whole country, you are eyeing him. Even if you are nosing him, it will be better. You are eyeing him. And it came to pass, on the morrow, that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played it in hand as at other time, and there was a javelin in Saul's hands. What did Saul do? He prophesied. What was in his hand? A javelin. Some people have become specialists in prophesying and holding javelin. Don't let the prophecy deceive you. Oh, come and kneel down. Come and kneel down. Come and kneel down. I just want to bless you. I just want to bless you. And I just want to prophesy over you. I just want to prophesy over you. I just want to bless you. Close your eyes. Let me pray for you. Didn't the Bible say watch and pray? I will close one eye, open the other. In case you throw your javelin. There are many prophesying javelin wielders in the body of Christ. There are many people who say, I love you, and at your back they want to kill you. May God make you as wise as a serpent and harmless like a dove. The man was prophesying, and there was a javelin in his hand. Oh, I bless you. But his heart is cursing you. I wish you well. But he said, may you never live. Be not deceived by prophecy. Be not deceived by prayer. Be not deceived by spiritual gymnastics, spiritual acrobatics, and drama. Most of what we do in the church these days is drama. People are acting. Their mouths are saying one thing, their heart is saying another thing. Man of God, woman of God, I love you. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. And they are looking at you, and in their heart, they are saying, thunder, fire your head. May the Lord make you smart, wise as a serpent. May he make you spiritually intelligent. You are operating in excellence, but you are also an excellent. Listen, the thing that made Muhammad Ali. The thing that made Muhammad Ali and what makes Floyd Mayweather and Sugar Ray Leonard, the thing that makes them good boxers, it's not just because of the pound to pound, but they can dodge. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit. And sometimes the spirit will guide you to know how to dodge, avoid a trap. May God make you extremely wise. May God make you wise. May he make you a man of wisdom, a woman of wisdom, in the name of Jesus. And as you lift up your hand today, I pray that your hand will never shed the blood of somebody operating in excellence. Psalm 18:29. By my God, have I run through a troop? By my God, have I leaped over a wall? Now listen, sometimes he said, you teach my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in my hand. But there are times you don't need that capacity. Sometimes what you need is how to run through a troop and leap over a wall.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com, info@godswordforus.com.